This is some of the things we're going to be talking about tonight, about who this man Apollos was, and how is he influenced to follow the Lord? Who influenced Apollos in his life? And how can we take those lessons and apply them to our life, and also apply them to where we can influence people in our life? Let's read Acts chapter 18, verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with them Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there. He left Priscilla and Aquila there in Ephesus. Remember that. He himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church that's in Jerusalem, when he talks about going up, if you look on the map, Caesarea there at the green line, Caesarea is the port that you would use right here to go to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is on a high ground, a very high ground. In fact, it's a strategically placed spot. Even all through the Middle Ages, during the Crusades, if you could hold Jerusalem, you could control that entire area because it was a high ground. If you could control that area, so it's a strategic spot. So when he says going up to Jerusalem, you know, we look at a map and north always faces up like on this map. It doesn't mean he's going north. As he's talking about elevation-wise, he goes up from Caesarea on the seacoast up to Jerusalem. And then he goes down, as he talks about in the next verse, down from Jerusalem down to Antioch, because Jerusalem was at such a high elevation. So when he talks about up and down, he's not talking about going north or going south. He's talking about going elevation-wise up and down. And he sailed from verse 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Now remember, Antioch is where Paul was from. That was his hometown. And he started all of his missionary journeys from Antioch. And now he's going to begin his third missionary journey again from Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now remember, Priscilla and Aquila, Paul left them there at Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila, and Priscilla had heard, they took him in unto them, and expounded him the way of God more perfectly. Now, Apollos, when they talk about knowing the baptism of John, they're talking about John the Baptist. All right. Now, John the Baptist was the one that went in front of Jesus and, the Bible says, proclaimed the way of the Lord. He announced the coming of the Messiah. And probably sometime in Jesus' first year of ministry, Jesus had 3 years of ministry that he openly ministered among people before he was crucified. Somewhere in his first, maybe even early into his second year of ministry, John the Baptist was taken and put in prison and then eventually beheaded. We read that story in Mark, where John lost his head. He lost his life because he had said some things that made Herod, the king, mad. He said he was sinning, which he was. The king didn't like that, so he put him in prison. Eventually, Herod took his head off, chopped his head off. So John lost his life before Jesus was crucified on the cross. And you may remember that after Jesus' crucifixion, when some of the saints were being persecuted in Jerusalem, as we talked about Saul being a young man. So probably when John the Baptist died, Saul, there's a chance that Paul had just been born, or maybe hadn't even been born yet, when John the Baptist died. But here's this man, Apollos, who somehow knew John the Baptist and somehow been influenced by John the Baptist, understood his teachings, realized that he was teaching that the Messiah was going to come. So what these Jews all throughout Asia would do, if you look at your map, all those Jews that lived in these different cities, what they would do is, so often in their lifetime, they would go to Jerusalem and take part in some of the feasts. And that some of those feasts, John the Baptist spoke outside of Jerusalem. And it talks about how lots of people will go out to hear him speak. So probably, we don't know for sure, but the Bible doesn't say, but probably either John the Baptist spoke and Apollos heard John the Baptist speak, or someone that was very close to Apollos heard John the Baptist speak and came back and shared that with Apollos. But most probably it was Apollos himself who somehow came into contact somewhere around Jerusalem with John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist had an influence on Apollos' life. Now look at verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now look at these next few verses here. And it came to pass, chapter 19, verse 1, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So here we have 13 men that were somehow affected by John the Baptist, a man who had died at least 25 years earlier. We know that from where Paul started his ministry, the amount of time that he spent in Antioch before his first time to travel, the years that where John the Baptist, the rulers that were in charge when John the Baptist died. So about 25 years passed until this happened, where John the Baptist had an influence that outlasted his physical life. He had an influence that was affecting people over 1,000 kilometers away in a different continent from where John the Baptist started his ministry. Now, why did John the Baptist have such an influence on these men? Have such an influence on the people here in this situation? Now, they didn't understand everything that was going on. They didn't realize that Jesus had been born. It took Paul and Aquila and Priscilla to inform them of that. But as soon as they heard that Jesus had been born, had died on the cross, and had paid the price for their sins, they understood fully what John the Baptist had been talking about. That's the kind of influence that John the Baptist had. And of course, we could go into a little bit more detail, chapter 19, verse 6, about them speaking in tongues and things like that. We don't believe that that's something that we do today. We believe that was a sign for the Jews here in the book of Acts. But without going into that any further, these men, their lives were changed, but it started with John the Baptist. And that's the point that I want us to think about tonight. How that we can have an influence on other people simply if we're faithful to doing what we're supposed to do. You know, John the Baptist didn't get a lot of praise during his ministry. In fact, it talks about some of his disciples. Most of John the Baptist's disciples left and followed Jesus. So at the end of John the Baptist's ministry, he never started a church. He didn't have very many disciples. They'd all followed Jesus. He didn't have very many converts. They were all scattered everywhere. And he ended up losing his life after staying in prison for at least a little bit of time. So if we look at his ministry from a successful standpoint, in our eyes, we would think, you know, his ministry didn't do a whole lot. It didn't really affect a whole lot of people. In fact, if you just read the gospel, you think, well, why did he lose his life so soon? Why didn't he spend more time spreading that Jesus was the Messiah at the same time that Jesus was alive? Why didn't he walk side by side with Jesus? Why didn't he help Jesus more that way? But we see here in this passage that God used things that we could never see in John the Baptist's life. How he influenced at least these 13 people, and probably even people all over the Jewish community, all through Asia and Europe. With that in mind, I want us to look at our main point tonight, that we must be faithful. We must be faithful. Now, why do we need to be faithful? I'm sure that John the Baptist at times, if he was just looking at numbers, if he was just looking at influence, he could look at his ministry and realize, you know, my ministry is not that big. But I want you to understand that we have an effect on people that we may never see again. until we get to heaven. John the Baptist could never know the effect that he had on these people. He would never see them again until they died and got to heaven. Or until John the Baptist could die and was able to see their ministry from heaven. You know, you understand that he had a strong influence on these 13 men. Influence that he probably never even realized himself. And that when we remain faithful, we have influence on people that we may never see again. Or people that we never realize that we're having influence on. That's why it's so important that we don't falter and fall in the ministry. There's an illustration. Of a man who was born in Cuba in 1833. His name was Carlos Finlay. He was a doctor. You may be familiar with him, I don't know. He's a famous person now, but when he was alive, he began work in the 1870s on yellow fever. Now, if you know anything about yellow fever, it's carried by mosquitoes. It's transferred by mosquitoes from human to human. He said in 1881 that mosquitoes were the carriers of yellow fever. And for 20 years, he wrote papers on that and articles on that he submitted to different magazines and papers in his area all throughout the United States and Europe. He traveled to the United States and to New York City, also into Europe, and wrote on the subject. And everywhere he went, he was treated with ridicule. They mocked his ideas. They didn't believe the things that he said. They couldn't believe that a mosquito could transfer the disease. While all this was going on, over 10%, listen to this number, every year 10% of the population, roughly, of the people that died in the whole Caribbean area, including Cuba, died from yellow fever. So of all the people that died, 10% of those were dying from yellow fever. Outbreaks spread all through the southern United States. At the same time, the French were trying to build the Panama Canal. They ended up, by the end of the time that they pulled out, they couldn't finish it, they ended up losing 22,000 men, healthy workers that they brought in, that died from yellow fever. Finally, near the end of Carlos Finlay's life, another man who was interested in Carlos Finlay's work, a man named Walter Reed, confirmed his findings in 1900 and began to work with the U.S. military in the Panama Canal as they began to dig, because they were losing men too to yellow fever. So they brought in Walter Reed. He began to put into practice the ideas that Carlos Finlay had about eradicating mosquitoes, about stopping their breeding, about getting rid of their breeding grounds. And as soon as he did that, the yellow fever dropped drastically. In fact, before Walter Reed began to implement those, the Americans lost roughly 5,000 workers. After he began to implement those, they believe, another 600 workers to the rest of the canal as it was finished. So, 22,500 workers died before Walter Reed implemented these, and less than 600 workers died after he implemented those things, just from yellow fever. Now, if someone had listened to Carlos Finlay earlier, they could have prevented a lot of deaths, couldn't they? But I want you to think about this, that Carlos Finlay, like John the Baptist, was an unsung hero. In fact, until after his death, he rarely got credit for some of the things that even Walter Reed had done. Even though Walter Reed credited him in his writings and footnoted his articles in the book that he wrote about the things that he did, few people were willing to give Carlos Finlay the credit while Carlos Finlay was still alive. I want you to understand that we can translate that illustration into our lives as Christians. That oftentimes we think, and we look around at our life and think, am I really making a difference as a Christian? Is my life impacting those that are around me? And I want you to understand that it is, as long as we stay faithful. You know, what if Carlos Finlay had, after he wrote his first article, had published that article, and after it was mocked and ridiculed and people wrote counter-articles to it, what if he had said, you know what, I'm not going to write any more articles. I'm not going to publish any more findings. I'm not going to research that anymore. Then Walter Reed, years later, 20 years later, would not have had the material that he needed to stop the spread of yellow fever throughout Central America and throughout the Caribbean and the southern United States. But he didn't stop. He stayed faithful to what he believed. John the Baptist did the same thing. And here, years later, 25 years later, we can see John's testimony lived out in other people's lives. John's influence lived out in other people sharing the gospel with even more people. Do you realize that it doesn't talk about all the converts here of Apollos, but later on, as Paul writes, he talks about people who got saved because of what Apollos did. You know, that's a credit to John the Baptist's ministry. It's a credit to what John the Baptist did. Even though that wasn't the only influence on Apollos' life, that was the starting influence for him. So, with that in mind, I want you to understand that we must be faithful. We can't stop. And there are three things here that we can look at that were passed down to Apollos. We don't see if they were passed down from John the Baptist, but that Apollos applied in his life so that he could become faithful, so that he could remain faithful, and that he in turn also had converts, that he in turn also became influential in witnessing to those around us. The first thing I want to look at . We never know who could be influenced by what we say and do. The first thing, look at this. If we want to stay faithful, if you want to have an influence past your life, past the time that we die, I want you to understand that we need to take in God's Word. We need to soak in God's Word. That's something that Apollos did in his life. Look at verse 24 and 28 of chapter 18. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. I want you to understand that for Apollos to be mighty in Scripture, there's a couple of things he had to do in his life. First of all, he had to spend time in Scripture. Now, I've been a little bit sick the last couple of weeks, but I like to work out a little bit, okay? And if I could run and be able to run, that keeps me healthy. Now, for me to become a mighty runner or a mighty weightlifter, you know what I have to do? I have to spend time running. I have to spend time working out. If I need to become mighty in whatever I want to do, I have to spend time in that thing that I want to become mighty in. Now we look at Apollos' life, and it says he was mighty in the Scripture. There's no possible way he can be mighty in Scripture and never spend any time in the Word of God. I want you to understand that if you want to be faithful, if you want to have influence in other people's lives, you have to spend time in the Word of God. Every day, spend time in the Word of God. In fact, in the Christian life, faithfulness is probably the most important thing in the Christian life. But it comes in faithfulness to the Word of God. That's one of the most important things in our life. Being faithful to spend time in the Word of God. Someone started him out in the Word of God. But he also searched the Scriptures himself. And then he ran into Aquila and Priscilla, and they were able to instruct him further. So there's a pattern here where not only did he spend time in the Scriptures himself, but he listened to others who knew more about the Scriptures than he did. So we can take that in our life and say, you know what? Not only do you need to spend time on your own in the Bible, but you also need to come to where you can hear others who know something about the Bible that maybe you don't, or who spent time in the Bible that you can listen to, which we call church today. Aquila and Priscilla were able to share out of the Gospels with him and influence his life. So not only did he spend time in the Scripture himself, he went to where he could hear more about the Bible. Something that we need to do. Be faithful in taking time in God's Word. I want that. If you don't do that today, if you don't take time in God's Word each day, I want you to make a commitment to do that the rest of this year. We only have a few months left. You may remember at the beginning of the year we talked about reading through the Bible in a year. And you may remember that it's only 88 verses a day and you could read through the whole Bible in a year. Now, I don't remember if we raised our hand for that or not. I don't want you to raise your hand right now, but is anyone here reading 88 verses a day and keeping up with your Bible reading? No? Ethan. All right. Yes, thank you, Ethan. The rest of you are all sorry you're not reading your Bible. No. I don't want you to raise your hand, but you understand that that's not really a lot of time. I've timed reading 88 verses different times throughout this year, and you know what? It usually takes me less than 15 minutes, okay? And I'm not the world's fastest reader. In fact, there's some words that I struggle with a little bit, and you know, maybe you're a slower reader than me, maybe you're a faster reader than me, but if you could spend 30 minutes a day in God's Word, you could read through the Bible in a year. You know, here we look at Apollos. How could he stay so faithful? How could John the Baptist stay so faithful? How could these people that Apollos ended up witnessing to, how could they stay faithful? They do it by spending time in the Word of God on a regular basis. Now, maybe there's some days that you're busier than others, or you have to, like on Monday, take 2 days to read two different passages of the Bible. Maybe that's how you do it. Maybe you read all your passages in the Bible one day a week. But you need to take regular time each week to spend time in the Word of God. And then on top of that, go to where you can hear more out of the Word of God. Come to church. Learn from God's Word. Come to the youth meetings. Learn from God's Word. Come to the children's meetings. Memorize those verses. Learn the Word of God. It'll keep us faithful. There's something else here that we look at in Apollos' life. How he was influenced by John, but how he was able to influence others by staying faithful. And that is by sharing God's Word. So not only did he take in God's words, but he shared God's Word also. You may be familiar with a sponge, right? A sponge absorbs water, okay? Now if you put a sponge inside a bucket and it fills up with water and you pull that sponge out of the bucket, what happens? Water comes out of the sponge, right? It can't hold all the water that's in it. It can absorb more water than it can hold outside of the bucket. Now I want you to understand that when it comes to the Christian life, we need to absorb in the Word of God as much as we can. And as we begin to absorb more of the Word of God, that begins to push out things out of our life that we shouldn't have. And finally, we get to the point that no matter where we go, we're just, you know, dropping the Word of God everywhere. And here he is sharing the Word of God, but I want you to understand that this step number two, sharing God's Word, comes from step number one. It comes from spending time in God's Word. It comes from soaking in God's Word. It comes from spending time listening to God's Word. We can't share God's Word effectively if we never spend time in His Word. We can't share the Word of God effectively if we don't listen to God's Word. And here's the Apollos. That thing we see in his life. Look at verse 26 and then verse 28. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Now look at verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So we see that because Apollos spent so much time in the Word of God, the natural result of that was that he wanted to share God's Word with other people who didn't know as much about God's Word as he did. Step two comes from step one. But there's also a third thing about being faithful. Not only do we need to take in God's Word, not only do we need to share God's Word, but we also, this is a combination of both one and two, but it goes a little bit step further, by living God's Word. By living God's Word through our lives. That no matter where we are at, no matter what situation that we're in, people realize that there's someone who's different. There's someone who's a Christian. There's someone who lives their life differently than the rest of the world. And that's the way we should live our life. We should absorb God's Word so much and then share God's Word so much that there's never a question when events come into our life of where we're coming from, about who we are, of what Jesus Christ has done in our heart. It should be the natural reaction out of our heart in even rough situations that they know that we're Christians, that they know that the Word of God is in our life. That's how we can stay faithful. We must stay faithful, and we can do that by absorbing God's Word, by taking in God's Word, by sharing God's Word, and by living God's Word. Now, after Dr. Finley died, it's interesting that today in Havana, Cuba, and even though during the Castro regime, many of the statues that were in the Havana area were torn down. Many of the monuments that were in Havana were destroyed when the communists took over along with Castro years ago. But there is still a huge monument outside of Havana, Cuba, to Dr. Finley. And in fact, it's a square monument, but at the top, it looks like a giant syringe at the top. I know that may have a bad connotation today, but because he was in, you know, made a, helped work with the syringe and everything because he was a doctor and helped to eradicate yellow fever. There's also a statue of him in Panama City and a medical award that's named after Dr. Finley, an award about discoveries in microbiology from the medical world. Now, those things came about after Dr. Finley died. Those things came about why? It's a monument to a man's faithfulness who understood what he believed, knew that he was right, and continued in it no matter what happened around him. And we look at John the Baptist and his life. John the Baptist went through some rough times. He wasn't the most glamorous person in the Bible. He didn't have lots of big sermons. He didn't have lots of converts all over. But here we look at his life and we see a monument to the life of John the Baptist. Why? Because he was faithful. 25 years after he died, over 1,000 kilometers from where he ministered, there's a monument to John the Baptist here in Acts chapter 18. I want you to think about something tonight. 25 years after we die, 25 years after I die, what kind of influence am I still going to have going on from my life? 25 years after you die, what kind of influence are you going to still have in your life? Is there going to be someone that's influenced because of what you did? Is there going to be someone somewhere here in Trinidad sharing the gospel because of what we've done here at this church? Is there going to be lives changed, still going on, still people's lives being changed 25 years from now because of what we did? I want you to understand, if we stay faithful, there will be. It's not easy to stay faithful. It takes commitment. Sometimes it can be a little bit fun, but most of the time, the Christian life is a little bit tedious. And the Christian life is hard work. And I want you to understand that we must stay faithful regardless of the things that come into our life. Here we look at John the Baptist's life 25 years later. Here's Apollos. And Apollos is winning people to the Lord. What about my life? 25 years from now, is there going to be people in this area still winning people to the Lord because of the influence that I had?